My first inkling of the impending storm came, in fact, in New York, specifically at the Woolworth Building, where Major Eric Eden, retired, asked to meet me, in order, he said, to relay a message from Walter Jenkins. My young colleague, Harry Kane, insisted on accompanying me. Harry was of that breed of brash American journalists who are always suspicious of all things European. He would have been even before the Schlieffen War, I think. I suppose Harry came as a kind of moral support, but with a professional curiosity too about a Martian war that, to him, had been only a distant spectacle of his youth. So, we made our way. It was a brisk mid-March day in the year 1920. Manhattan had suffered what everybody hoped would prove to be the last snowstorm of the year, although the main hazard on that particular morning turned out to be the slush piles alongside every sidewalk, ever ready to soak an unwary ankle. I remember that morning, the swarming, cheerfully ill-tempered traffic, the electric advertising hoardings that glowed in the greyness of the day, the sheer innocent vigour of a young nation, in those last hours and minutes before I was dragged back into the affairs of gloomy, wounded old England. At last, Harry and I pushed through the doors into the Woolworth. The air in the lobby, heated and scented, hit me like a slap in the face. In those days, the Americans liked to be very warm indoors. I pulled open my coat and loosened my headscarf, and we walked across a floor of polished Greek marble that was speckled with melted snow and grit from the street. The lobby was busy. Harry, with his usual air of amused detachment, an attractive trait in a man a few years younger than me, even if it doesn't sound it, said to me over the noise, "I take it your Major Eden doesn't know the city so well." "You can say that without ever meeting him."
"Sure I can. Where else would you set up a meeting but here? In London, an American would meet you at St. Paul's. That's the one with a hole in the dome, right? And a British in New York. Well, here we are, in the tallest building in the world," he pointed. "And there he is, by the way."
The man he indicated stood alone. He was slim, not tall, and wore a morning suit that looked expensive enough but dowdy compared to the peacock fashions around him. If this was Eden, he looked younger than his 38 years, 6 years older than me. And that must be Eden because
he's the only one looking at the artwork.
Indeed, the man was staring up at the ceiling, which, had I ever noticed this before, was coated with mosaics that looked Roman, perhaps Byzantine. That was the Americans for you. In this new monument to a triumphant mammon, they felt the need to reach back to their detached European past. Harry strode across the floor, muttering,
"And could he look more the Englishman abroad? If this is the best he can do to blend into the background, no wonder the Martians caught him."
That made me snort with laughter as I followed. "Hush, you're terrible. The man's a hero." Eric Eden was, after all, the only living human being who had actually been inside a functioning Martian cylinder. He was captured in the first couple of days in 07, as the military, in their ignorance, probed at the first landing pit at Woking. Having been kept alive, perhaps as a specimen for later examination, Eric had fought his way out of a space cylinder with nothing much more than his bare hands, and had ultimately made it back to his unit with invaluable information on Martian technology. Hero or not, Eric looked rather nervous as we bore down on him.
"Mrs. Jenkins, I take it."
"I prefer Miss Elphinstone, actually, since my divorce."
"My apologies. I imagine you recognize me from the posters in the bookshop windows."
Harry grinned.
"Something like that." "It has been a well-announced tour. Just Bert Cook and myself for now, but we should be joining up with old Schiaparelli in Boston. Discoverer of the canals, you know. In his 80s, but going strong."
I introduced Harry quickly. "We both work for the Post."
"I've not read your book, sir," Harry admitted. "It's kind of out of my sphere. I spend my time fighting Tammany Hall as opposed to men from Mars."
Eric looked baffled, and I felt moved to interpret.
"Tammany Hall's the big Democrat political machine in the city. Americans do everything on a heroic scale, including corruption. And they were not men in that cylinder, Harry." "However," Harry went on, unabashed, "I've been known to dabble in the book trade myself. Sensational potboilers, that's my line, not having a heroic past to peddle.